Coming to you from the Flexbox Fantasy Federation's World Broadcasting Headquarters in Ottawa, this is The Weekly Show. I'm your host, Nick the Man Penner, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, WizKid Jeremiah Johnson. WizKid, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Nick. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I think it's also appropriate to point out that, at least according to Facebook, you are both a WizKid and a genius of love. That's right, ladies. I'm sorry to announce, Jeremiah, off the market.
Wow. Yeah, I'm off the market. That's too bad. Luckily, I still do the show, though.
That's what really counts. Girls come and go, but fantasy baseball is for life.
Flex, I'm still available.
And the third person on this call, we have a surprise special guest. We have for you this week, ladies and gentlemen, the recent winner of the Community Shield, which I believe makes him the people's champion, Ryan Neeson. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot. Happy to be here.
So if Ryan's the Rock, who are you?
I'm a Mick Foley man myself.
Okay. What about Flex?
Flex? Roman Reigns.
Oh. Okay. All right.
So on this episode of the show, we are going to be talking about the Community Shield matchup from last weekend, as well as doing a bit of a preview for Week 16, which is already in progress, of course, and maybe talking a little bit more about the trade deadline, and specifically how nobody is trading right now.
It's really depressing.
But first, as I mentioned last week, was the Community Shield big matchup, which Ryan did in fact win.
Yep.
So, I mean, Flex took it down, clearly, because he doesn't want to be reminded that he wasn't in the Community Shield matchup. But Ryan, how does it feel to beat last year's champion?
Yeah, it feels good. Definitely, he's one of the top teams this year, too. You know, has a really good rotation full of many, many aces. I was scared. Even to the last day, I was pretty scared that I might lose. Because it was a two-week matchup with 14 starts. I had to stream a lot of, you know, waiver ads and stuff. I wasn't too confident, but I'm glad I got the win. I'm looking at the score now. It was 425 to 392. So it was fairly close, within 40 points. So, yeah, it feels good to win, though. I think, you know, well on my way of, going to the playoffs and hopefully winning a championship now.
Would you say that Zach Greinke being injured was a large part of your success?
I think injuries happen to everyone. You know, my team has faced a lot of injuries, especially during that week. I had, Fowler hurt and Pedersen hurt. Ross has been hurt all year. So I guess it is fair that, you know, Greinke missed quite two starts that week. So, you know, what could have happened? Who knows? But, yeah, I was happy I won. I think I had a pretty good showing for my team. Anytime you crack 400 points, it's pretty good. So I'm happy with it.
That's fair. That's fair.
Now, you did mention you picked up some streaming pictures. You played with your roster a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how much did you care about the Community Shield?
You know what? It would be nice to have a break, you know, from fantasy, you know, stop worrying about it. But, yeah, I cared a lot. I really wanted to win. I got screwed over because Cueto was supposed to start on Sunday. Then it got moved to Saturday. So I missed out on two of my starts. So I was trying to, you know, get 16 starts in. I only got 14, but yeah, I really wanted to win. I think Chow wanted to win too. He was doing the same thing as me. He kept adding and, you know, dropping starters every single day, just because, you know, we have to get to the 14 starts. So I cared a lot. I wanted to win. You know, happy I won. So definitely, I think, you know, something I wanted to do. I didn't not care about it. So,
have you heard anything from league officials on what your prize is?
No, it's been radio silent for me. So I'm still waiting. You know, I was happy at one. I don't really care much about the prize. I'm just happy that I'm, you know, doing well, got the win, you know, keep on rolling, hopefully.
Oh, that's fair. That's pretty fair.
Do you think this bodes well for your chances of winning the championship this season, now that you've proven you can win in these clutch situations?
Yeah, you know, this is the first time I've played Chow, I think. Maybe I put him last year, I'm not sure, but, you know, to get the win against him, I beat Flex 3 weeks ago, I think. I still got to beat you, Nick. But I think I've done pretty good so far, you know, only one loss this year so far. I think it bodes well, honestly. I think, you know, I still have a good team. I think I've made some good additions in Volquez, James Shields. I'm still trying to add a power hitter, but we'll see what happens. But I think it bodes well. I think, you know, it shows that my team can beat any team in the league pretty much.
So one addition you did make was Hector Rondon, and of course he's now relegated to setup with Aroldis Chapman joining the Cubs. What is your plan for that?
I'm going to keep rolling from...
Does it affect... Would you say it largely affects your team's chances, or at least consistency?
I honestly don't think a closer matters as much as it did last year. A save is worth a point. A hold is worth half a point. So as long as he keeps doing good, his ERA is like, you know, like a 1.2 and his whip is like 0.7. As long as that stays the same, he'll keep putting up good points. He plays on the Cubs, so they're going to get a lot of wins. I think he's still going to be a top 30 reliever, even if he's the setup guy. So I don't think it changes much. Okay, I might miss out on a few points, but he's still a top reliever. Uihara got her anyway, so I think I'd still make that trade 10 times out of 10. Looking back, so
the anti-flex, ladies and gentlemen, he's engaging, he's positive. No swear words so far on the show.
Not yet, no.
It's coming.
Oh, probably not. Right, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
So, I mean, the last thing I guess I want to ask for, and I do touch on it in the column that I wrote this week that'll be up. This year we had the inaugural Community Shield, right? So we had you were the best record during the regular season against our champion, but the future format will be the champion against the Europa League champion. Would you say that the format that we had this year, do you think it's more likely to be competitive than the proposed current or the proposed future format for this?
Okay. Well, last year I won the consolation bracket, right? It really depends. Okay, like the person who wins the Europa, like I think me getting this good this fast shows that if you're active in this league, you make trades, you talk to everyone in this league, you can really become really, really good, right? Now, obviously, beating the champion of the year before is going to be hard. Like, next year, you know, it might be me, Flex, Nick as a champion. We'll see what happens. But for someone to get as good as one of us, they really have to try hard. And, you know, I've probably made 40 trades since I won the consolation last year just to get better, right? Obviously, the best record of the next year, it might be more competitive against the previous champion. Might even be the same person, obviously. But yeah, it's an interesting thing, honestly. Like, I think it really depends on the person. Europa will be pretty cool to watch this year to see, you know, the best. And honestly, if you give someone encouragement, you know, they can see that they're, you know, they have a good team. You know, trades are there to be had, just people have to be active. I think that's the main thing. They can get better. Yeah, I think we'll see what happens. I think, the Community Shield was a cool thing this year. I think, you know, it's a nice little, you know, all-star gimmick. But, I'm interested in seeing how it turns out next year, too.
I'd be curious to see who's made the most trades on ESPN between now and the trade deadline, but I don't think there's any way to track that.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I do have the season trades in front of me. Cam, unsurprisingly, has a whopping 135.
That's not shocking.
Jeremiah is actually a respectable second place with 54. Jathish has 38. And then I believe next is Ryan with 24. Oh, no, Kaminsky has 29.
Nick has...
But still, top five in the league for trading.
Nick has 15.
That's right.
I'm gonna check. Just gonna quickly look here. Who has the lowest? If you don't tell me here, I would speculate. It's
Pain. I have an idea.
It's Pain. That's my. No, it's not Pain.
Would be Garth?
No, it's definitely. Yeah, it's probably Garth. Has he made any trades? Zero.
Yeah. Garth McInnes with the goose egg on the trading. Forever in the Cold War with the rest of the league.
Why? But I also feel like those trades include, like, a pitcher for, like, a pick. Or, like, in Cam's case, he, like, traded his whole relief pen for all of Jathi's bats. Like, I don't know. I just, Cam's very active, and I give him kudos for that, but he can't be in the trade market by himself, so. Anyway.
Although he tries his best.
As we move forward this week into previewing the matchups, it's nice to finally have Ryan on the show, because we've been wanting him on for a couple weeks now after our other guest, so. I do want to get Kaminsky on the show, though, I will say. I think
That'd
he'd
be cool too, yeah.
Like, we'd have to limit how many plugs he could do. But I have no issue with him being on the show. And if we're on...
Kaminsky, if you hear this, we're calling you out. Come on by. You know how to reach us.
Get on the show, Kaminsky. I, you know what? If you get on the show, I will buy something from you.
Because
I know he's always, you know, whining, complaining that I don't buy anything, so... I will
he
do that.
He is, in fact, a businessman.
Well, let's start with the entrepreneurs matchup this week. He's taking on Garth Newton, and he's 8-6. He's lost a couple matchups, I think, in a row. So far, he's laying the hammer down, though, 72-35.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Just shortly after declaring that his season was over, that he was going to sell the farm, he's coming back strong.
Which is a typical Kaminsky thing to do, because he asks so much in trade that he can't sell off the farm.
So,
he just sticks it out. Which I'm fine with, but when you're asking, like, high prices for Prince Fielder and Curtis Granderson, I mean, you're not going to sell those players. But
yeah.
I will take back... I did tell Kaminsky he was wrong about Jose Reyes, and I still think he's wrong about Jose Reyes, but at least he's playing. So, congratulations for keeping a player on your roster all year and him being semi-useful to you. I don't know. Kaminsky's going to make the playoffs, right? I don't think there's any debate.
Oh, there's debate. He's not going to
make it. Is there debate?
It's tough for him, yeah. I think so.
He's 8-6.
Is Kershaw still going to play this year? I'm not even sure.
I've heard he might have back surgery and he might be out for the year. So if that's the
Honestly, that's a huge blow for his team. Because I think I even talked to him earlier this year. And I told him, like, Kershaw is probably at least a top one or two player for fantasy in this league. He puts up so many points. And without him, that's a huge, huge loss, honestly. It might be tough for him to come back from that. Now, he did make a trade a couple days ago barring a pitcher, I think.
Kennedy is the guy he got for Travis Wood.
Sure, that's someone good enough to replace Kershaw, right? His batting lineup's so good. He still has Mike Trout, you know, and he can put up massive amounts of points every single week, right? But I think we'll see what happens with him, yeah. He still has a good team, but Kershaw's a huge blow for him.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, looking just at his past results, he's only topped 300 points once on the season. Mm-hmm. He's struggled a lot with inconsistency, especially in this recent losing streak where he's lost 3 out of 4. So, I mean, I don't want to say that he's definitely not making the playoffs, but I don't think it's as certain as his record might indicate. I think there's a lot of potential for him to mess up, especially with some of the teams he's facing. Playing me next week, Jathish 2 weeks after that, Max Grand. So, it's possible. It's very possible that he makes it in, but I wouldn't be 100% sure on it.
Well, the thing I would say, though, is that Ash currently holds down the 8th spot with a .500 record, and Jeffrey Lim's 9th, right, I think? So, and he's under .500, and Mike should win this matchup this week. I mean, Garth Newton's not really a team that you would think is going to challenge Mike. So let's assume he wins and he goes to 9-6. So he'd probably have to lose the rest of his matchups.
Yeah.
I don't know how likely that would be. And the thing I will say about Mike's team before we move on is that he's kind of stuck in that zone, right? Like, he has a good team, but he's still really far below the top 3 teams in this league, 4 teams, I guess,
mm-hmm.
in the league, right? And how do you get better? That's the problem, right? I think it's very difficult. The hardest thing to jump through is that from, like, that 6, 7, 8 area to the 1, 2, 3, 4 area. But if I was Mike and I have 3 days left to make some trades, I'd probably look at getting some starting pitching. I mean, he has done that. But Ian Kennedy and Mike Leake aren't going to move the needle, you know? Like,
they're solid, like, you know, 3 and 4, like, you know, pitchers. They're not going to replace Kershaw, right? But what can you do? It's hard to replace Kershaw this late in the game.
No, I don't think. And I don't think even if this was the beginning of the season, you could replace Kershaw, but.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Mike will make the playoffs, in my opinion, but I don't think he'll win a round.
I think this week is very important for a lot of teams, actually, because, you know, 8-6, one loss, you know, he's back in the middle of the pack. One win, you know, 9-6, I just said, you know, probably gets him in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would agree with that. yeah, I mean, Garth Newton's rebuilding, right? I think we all agree that he's out of it and trying to rebuild. So an important week for Mike, but another important week for other teams as well. So, I mean, Jeffrey Chow and Sam are in a matchup this week that's probably huge for both of them, really. I mean, if Jeffrey wants to close the gap between the top three and Sam wants to solidify his playoff position. Sam's leading right now.
Sorry, there's so many teams around, you know, 500, right? 8-6, I see a lot, 6-8. So I think next couple of weeks is going to be huge for, like, the last two spots of the playoffs, I'd imagine.
Yeah, so. I would agree. I mean, Chow's riding the senior citizen wave into the playoffs, which, I mean, I don't know. Like I said before, I mean, he got Hanley Ramirez over the break, right? That's somebody he acquired.
Oh, didn't see that.
I just want to look and see what he gave up, because Jason Wirth and Y.E. Chen are the pieces he gave up.
Like,
which to me is, that's a good move, I mean. That's
crazy good, wow.
Yeah, I like the move. He's still riding David Ortiz's hot bat. And I mean, yeah, there's no denying it, he's got good pitching. I don't know, like, in this matchup, who needs it more, though, right? In your opinions? I guess Sam?
I think it's important for him to win. You know, Chow has a really good team. He's shown that he can put up upwards of, like, 300 points every single week, right? I've seen him go, like, 350 and above. So it's really... I see him... He's a bit streaky, but, you know, I think if Sam gets the win here, it's really, really good for his playoff hopes. But, you know, it's really tough to beat Chow. Like, even for me, like, I'm scared playing him. So I guess, you know, it's tough. Any single week, you know, anything can happen, I guess. But
I think you're scared of playing anyone. You just want to win every week. And
I think so. That's exactly it. Yeah, I think it can lose any possible week. So that'd be scared, I guess. Gotta be humble. I think that's the main thing.
I think it's good. I think it's good Nick beat you, because I think you'd be having some coronary.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad I lost to him instead of losing someone else, because it could have been a lot worse.
Nick's a pretty humble guy.
Yeah, you know what? I think if I lost to Flex, he would have rubbed it in a lot. So I'm okay losing to Nick. He's a good guy. So.
I am flattered. jumping back to the matchup, I will just point out that playoff seeding obviously is something to look at this point in the game. Chow is pretty much locked into a 2-3 matchup no matter what, so it doesn't really matter what side of that he's on, whereas with Sam, he's fighting for his playoff lives right now, not sure if he'll be in and out at the end, so I think in terms of importance, this matchup means a lot more to Sam, especially if he can pull off a win, and it would be a bit of an upset, but I think he's got the potential to do it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in a lot of ways, though, it also doesn't matter for Sam, too, really, because he's not going to hop into the fifth spot, I don't think. But, because you got to, if you're, to be honest, I think the best spot to be is in that 4-5 matchup. Because I think the three-headed monster at the top, there's no way you're beating them in the first round.
Mm.
Like, if the playoffs started today, right, Sam would draw Ryan.
Oh, wow.
Which, frankly, is not a good matchup. Mike would get Flex. Again, I don't think that's a favorable matchup, but I do think if he's going to beat somebody, it would be Chow, and this is a good preview for him to try to see if he can hang with kind of that second tier, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's a follow-up question for you, Jeremiah, because you're not involved in this.
Yeah.
Between Ryan, myself, Flex, and Chow, who would you want to face in the first round, assuming those are your four options?
Those are my four options in the first round. Well, I mean, I guess the inherent choice would be Chow, but I think Chow's team has just been subject to some really bad luck. But when confronted with the three of you, I would probably choose Chow. Mm. Just because I don't think Chow scores as many 300-plus points consistently as the three of you. Like, I've seen you touch close to 400. I've seen Ryan touch close to 400. Flex has gotten pretty consistent mid-300s performances.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, also at the same time, if Chow gets Granky back, it's a whole different story, right? You know what? Interestingly, it's very close to call, but I would probably put you and Ryan at the top, and I'd put Flex third right now, actually.
Ooh, shots fired.
if someone was putting me on the spot, I guess. So out of the big three, I'd probably want to face Flex in a one-up matchup if we exclude Chow. So if that answers your question. Because if I upset him, I think the league would never hear the end of it. So
that'd be huge, yeah.
Yeah, I think I do play him. I'm just going to look. Yeah, I play him in week 19. So, like, he could be fighting you guys for seeding in the playoffs, and if I could beat him, that would be fantastic. Won't happen, but never know.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, let me find something. So,
this week, though, you're playing Philip.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. I'm hoping to win.
You've got the early lead. You are up 43.1 to 32.6.
Yep.
I mean, what's your sense of this matchup? Are you going for the win here?
I'm trying to balance being a rebuilding team with also seeing if I can get close to 500, because I feel like I'm still, like, if I win this week, I'm within shouting distance of a playoff spot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to not, like, try to make deals and trade, right? Like, I'm trying to roll with guys, but, I mean, I'm running a full bullpen, right? I have bench bats and all that crap, so I'm trying to make it happen, but I think I'm going to fall, like, in that really terrible, like, 9-10 spot where I just missed the playoffs, and I'm really upset about it. I'm kind of not doing anything. But I do think I could beat Philip. Philip, your team sucks. I think
your team is very good, actually, to be honest. I think your team, if you keep it the way it is now, can compete for a playoff spot. Because think about it, if Cam is still in it and a lot of teams that are 500 are still in it, I don't see why you can't still be in it, right? And especially with this week, this should be, I'd say, an easy win for you, but I think you should be able to win this week, right? And that puts you right in the mix of, the eighth spot, right? And you have a good team. I got to say, like, you still have Noah Syndergaard. You still have a very good offense. You've given away a few of your bullpen pieces and a few of your bats, I think. But overall, like, it's still a solid, solid team. I think it's very competitive, even this year. And then next year, it's going to be even better. So,
well, I am excited. Joey Gallo got called up today. And apparently, like, literally, like, an hour before the game, because ESPN sent, a message to my phone saying he wasn't playing today. And then he actually played, and he got a home run.
The perfect Joey Gallo game. One home run, two strikeouts.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, because it's 4.5 points. I'm totally fine with that. It's the games where he goes 0-for-4 with, like, four strikeouts, and it's, like, -3.
Those games can be killer, yeah.
And if he gets moved, I honestly think if he gets moved, it would be so good for him. Because, like, Texas doesn't even want to play him. I don't know why. They just hate him.
He might get moved.
Just not Tampa Bay. Like, fuck, I can't handle Corey Dickerson again. I can't. Like, he got destroyed. So, yeah, I do think I could beat Philip this week. My team's, like, red-green duct tape patched together, but I could still beat Philip's team. I'm confident of that.
Now, I will point out, at least in today's lineup, you are running with the interesting two-catcher strategy.
Yeah.
You've got a catcher and a catcher in utility. Is that a strategic thing? It's Yadier, Molina, and Contreras. Are you looking to flip one of them?
No. So, like, the thing is, like, Gallo wasn't playing when I checked. Insarte sucks, frankly. And Tommy Joseph is, like, he, like, never plays. Well, not when he never plays, but, like, he strikes out a lot. So I was like, Yadier Molina's a doubleheader, so he's guaranteed to play at least one of those. Right? There's no way that he sits both. So it was just, like, a I'm sure he'll play type thing.
Yeah.
If somebody did want him, though, or, like, I guess anyone on the roster, I've really been trying to push Elvis Andrus. Hasn't worked. Nobody wants Elvis Andrus. I've talked to people. I talked to Jameel. He said Marcus Semien was better, which, like, blew my mind. I talked to Sam. He said Zach Cozart was better. I was like, okay. Jatish had Trevor Story, which, like, he is better.
Yeah.
But, like, you'd be amazed how many people you talk to that hate Elvis Andrus. And I don't know why. I don't think he's that bad.
He's having a good year. You know, hitting 290. Good RBIs, on bases.
Yeah, he's not a power bat, but, like, he's a much better shortstop than Marcus Semien. Jameel, you are fucking high right now when you say that shit. Like,
1.8 points per game for a shortstop is pretty good, actually. So definitely, like, if I didn't have Correa, I'd be after him. So
yeah,
but
like, it's not like I'm asking a lot. I'm just like, do you have interest? And they're like, well, Marcus Semien has more power. I'll keep that guy. Like, Marcus Semien hits like 230 with like 20 home runs and he doesn't get points. So, I don't know. But obviously I'm salty about this. It bothers me. That's why trades don't happen in this league. But, yeah, Nick, to answer your question, I apologize. I got off track. It is an advanced strategy that clearly is working very well.
And next level. I appreciate that.
If we shift to your matchup, though, because, like, I mean, you're actually a winning team. You're beating Jatish right now, 64.6 to 45.1. Scooter Jeanette leading Jatish's team. I mean, he gets no name performances every week, and I don't. And I think we talk about this every week. I'm like, how does he do it? Do you feel concerned at all that he might jump up and bite you?
I mean, a little bit. Full disclosure, I was on the road the past 2 days. Did not exactly set my lineup the past 2 days.
Oh,
so,
I can see that. Yeah.
That left a couple points on the bench there, but that's all good. There's points to spare, enough for everyone. you know, Jatish is a surprisingly good team in the sense that he has a tendency to yo-yo and just play better than you would think sometimes and play much worse than you would think other times. But I'm not overly concerned, but I'm definitely not looking past this one, if that makes sense.
You want to talk about interesting strategies. You're still employing Mike Napoli.
I mean, I've been very happy with Mike Napoli, considering it was a situation where I just got him as a free agent, basically to just plug a hole in the short term. And he's been very productive this season, aside from, you know, striking out constantly. He's got the power. He's got the ribbies. He's hitting in a good place in the Cleveland lineup, so I fully intend to roll with Napoli going forward.
Going, well, now 2 days before the deadline, do you have any pieces or any areas of weakness that you're looking to address?
I mean, you can see it plain as day. I've got a bit of a log jam on the left side of my infield with Todd Frazier, Nunez, and Brandon Crawford. I've been working. I don't think it's a secret. I've been working to trade at least one of those pieces, ideally for some pitching help. But I mean, honestly, at this point, I've got the luxury of being in a position where my team will be good no matter what deals I make or don't make. So I don't need to feel obligated like a lot of teams do to make a deal. I don't need to feel like if I don't make a deal, other teams are going to pass me. I'm very confident in the direction my team is heading. I've got some great prospects I can crawl up down the stretch that will give me some points if I need them. And so right now I'm pretty content. And any deals that I do make are going to be made out of hope and not fear.
Well, last question, and Ryan, feel free to weigh in on this. But the other top three teams. We'll exclude Chow. When I say top three, I mean you, yourself, Ryan, and Flex. Both those teams have a clear demographic, a clear direction. Flex and Ryan are both going the youth route with up-and-coming bats. Your team is kind of more of a mix of older veteran players sprinkled in with some younger or prime-age players. Do you think that long-term that's going to catch up with you, or you're just 100% okay running whoever's the best today, right now?
I mean, it's a good question. It's a fair question. I think I'm definitely in win-now mode at present. I will point out that after my championship-winning 2014 season, there were a lot of similar questions asked. That was a very old roster as well, and I was able to sort of scrap out the weak parts, move some things around, and get a competitive team for the next year and the year after. So right now I'm focused solely on this season. I feel I have a very good chance at winning a championship this year, and hopefully at the end of the season I'll be able to relax with some rings on my fingers and plot out a course from there.
Our first repeat champion, ladies and gentlemen, potentially.
We'll see. No, but I think it's a good idea, honestly. Like, even for this year, I'm happy my team is young, and I think I will be competitive, you know, in the next couple of years, definitely. But the main focus for me right now is to win. I would basically make any trade right now if it made me a lot better. You know, David Dahl is available. Jesse Winker is available. Basically, any of our prospects, you know, Yasiel Puig, he's 25. He could get better. He's available. I would not mind adding a guy who was, like, in his 30s you know, at the peak of his career, or maybe beginning to go on his, you know, downhill slide. You know, this league, the main thing for me and Nick, Nick and I, is to win, right? We don't really care much about, you know, being, like, obviously we want to be good the next couple of years, but, you know, I've traded away quite a few draft picks that, you know, could have helped me next year to be better this year. I think that's kind of the same thing Nick's doing. He wants to win this year. Obviously, he could trade, you know, Todd Frazier or even, like, Brian McCann for a younger option, but, you know, obviously they wouldn't be as good. I think it's a nice balance that I have, you know, of a good team like, you know, Chris Bryant, Correa, who are both good and young, you know. But it's the same thing for you, like, with Buxton, right? Like, he could be really good, but right now he's almost a detriment, right? You can probably get a guy as good as Buxton for, you know, for free in the free agency. So you're betting on a young guy who's good and he, you know, has potential. But I think if he was on my team, I would trade him this year for, like, a more established bat to help me this year.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, I like that Nick's team is a mishmash of young and old. I think Nick's not afraid to just acquire any player at any time, and that's why his team is successful. Honestly, he's not looking for a specific age group or anything. He just wants the best player available. So,
I mean, I've said it before. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I won then. I'm winning now. I shall win forever.
So,
I just want to say one thing before we move on. Carlos Beltran, that's really worked out for you. I feel silly trading him. He was doing really well for me leading up to when I traded him for basically nothing. So I feel quite silly. He'd be quite the help to my team right now, so I hope you're enjoying him. Probably one of my worst moves this year, but we'll see how it turns out at the end.
I will say that I was completely wrong about him. And just so there's full disclosure on this trade, Carlos Beltran went to...
Oh, don't tell anyone. Oh, God.
Cam. Oh, went to Cam for Noan. I can't even say his name. Nicasio.
Who I dropped like a week after. On top of that, I added in a decent prospect and a pick to get him. Like, that was just a terrible trade.
Well,
but
if you feel better about it, Cam also shipped him to Nick for Phil Hughes.
Yeah.
And
so
Phil
the
Hughes
thing is,
Paperwire, so
I shopped Beltran for months. Like, Jeremiah, like, you could have had him
20 times.
Many, 20 times over. But he wouldn't take him for free. So, you know, I offered him to a few of the people. Like, literally no one wanted him. He was too good to drop, right? He used to have, like, at the time he was doing okay. Like, he was basically matching Puig. And, you know, it was kind of redundant having both of them. I thought, you know, Puig was a better long-term option. So, I wanted to move him for something. The trade at the time made some sense, but yeah, like, looking back, Carlos Beltran would be a nice addition to my team, so kind of sucks.
Well, the one gentleman who would have an issue with Nick's statement of winning now, forever, and ever would be Flex, who this week is facing pain. Does Flex even need to roll a lineup out to win this matchup? I mean, Payne has clearly said, I am too good to roll up a lineup. Flex, I can beat you with six bats in my lineup. What are the thoughts?
Payne has packed it in more than a little bit. Although it's important to remember, he does have to at least try a little if he wants the first overall draft pick with the new Flex Fox Vase director.
I don't think he'll win it. I think he'll come fourth.
I don't expect him to.
Which gets him the fourth overall pick, and he will keep four players on his roster, and we will watch Payne draft the highest we've ever watched a team draft in, like, the fifth round.
So congrats to Flex on presumably picking up the win here. Although, you know, anything can happen, right?
Probably not with that lineup. Oh, my God. Three positions I didn't build. I'm not sure what he's doing, to be honest, but I don't know, like, if you want to show you couldn't care anything, maybe, you know, do what he's doing, but couldn't care at all, but, you know.
Like, I want to know if Flex benched all his bats. Do you guys think he would win this week? Just roll up, just pitchers only.
He wouldn't care about that because he cares all about total points, so he would never do that, I don't think. But if he did that, I think his pitching is good enough, probably. Like, he is a sick team. I'll be the first to admit it, so it's possible.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it would be a fair fight, but Flex would still win. So,
Flex, if you're listening, please change your avatar photo. You look fucked. Like, it's this old photo. If you look at it, look at him. It's an old... If you click on the matchup and you see his, like, GIF thing there going off, beside it is his face, and it's such an old photo. Like, he has no beard. He has no hair. He looks angry. There's nothing good about it. Like, is that your face when you lost to Ryan? Like, I don't understand. I don't understand. Like,
might have been.
You know, he's, that's the face he gives. For both
I will just point out, while we're roasting Flex here a little bit, there's not exactly a better photo out there to replace it.
Oh, God.
Because if you... Just here's a fun challenge, listeners. The Nick Fender challenge of the week is to go to Flex's Facebook profile, just click on the photos tab, and just scroll down through the photos, and you will notice every single photo he makes the exact same face, the exact same smile, and he just looks like a smug asshole. It is entirely a punchable face.
Oh my god.
I don't know if Flex is aware of this. I don't know if he's tried to fix this, but he just looks absolutely ridiculous. And I kind of feel bad for him in a sense.
That's not true. I have found some quality photos of Flex. There is one right here. It's his fifth photo in. It's an Asian boy, and he's missing a tooth. I'm not sure if this is Flex or not. He looks way too Asian to be Flex. I will copy this image. We're in a Skype call, just so everyone's listening, and I'm going to post this in the Skype call. We can all look at it, and we can debate whether this is actually Flex or not. I don't think it is. Is that Flex? I don't think that's Flex. False identity, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh.
See?
Is that,
these are the questions.
Is that Flex, right?
Well, first of all, what you didn't specify in your initial description is that this is a child.
I did say that. I said it was an Asian child. I did say that.
Did you? Oh, yeah. I mistook that. Yeah. I was expecting like a homeless Asian man, and I was like, yep, that's Fox. With this photo, I don't know.
Also,
it's hard to tell.
He does have
the Flex look going.
He does break code here. In his fourth photo right before this, he's wearing a 45S cap. And he's not doing anything. He's just looking off into the distance. I would like to give full credit to the gentleman behind him in the weird see-through shades that's like, what the fuck? And Flex is like, he's clearly looking at something. This gentleman has not realized that something's going on that Flex is looking at. ladies and gentlemen, I think it's the Flex Fox Championship going down the street in a motorcade with someone other than him celebrating. And this gentleman here behind him is going, huh, so that's what that looks like. And he's going, I could have had it. Third place. So, we had to spend some time roasting you, Flex, because there's nothing to talk about in your matchup. So really, it's an endearment to you.
Boom, roasting.
Ryan, this week you're taking on Cam, which, frankly, is much more significant to Cam than it is you. I'm sure you could take another look.
So.
I will say this week, because like, there's not a lot to talk about with this, but I will say that you left James Shields on your bench for 20 points.
Yeah. I have a good reason for that, though, because obviously, you know, we're only allowed, well, 7 starts. Usually I manage to get more than that, but I just took, I guess, educated guess, and I thought that Shields would not do good against the Cubs.
That's fair.
I think anyone would make that, you know, determination. So instead of, starting him, I put him on my bench. Now, obviously, it didn't turn out, but 9 times out of 10, the Cubs would probably rock James Shields, you know, so.
Yeah.
I think I would have felt, you know, I feel pretty smart right now if he had a negative 10-point game. So, you know, it sucks I lost 20 points, but I think I still have, you know, quite a few starts lined up. If I started him, I would have had not start someone else, and you know, I that's probably the worst matchup I had for the week, I guess, for pitching wise. So, you know, I took a risk and didn't work out, but you know.
We take 25 points off for a prospect pickup, but can we give 25 points for starting Mike Zunino? I mean, that's pretty bold. He's terrible.
But, I think you have a trading partner for Molina.
Yeah, so. I will take Zunino. But Cam, I mean, Cam's team bodes well for the future. I think we forget that he has Kyle Schwarber, Lorenzo Cain, and Hunter Pence on his DL, which those are three really solid bats, in my opinion. That if you had in his lineup replacing Kevin Kiermaier and guys like Robbie Grossman, his team would probably be playoff worthy, right?
I think he still needs pitching, but his team is very good. Obviously, like, even this week, I think I'm going to play into your point of being scared of losing to him, but, like, you know, it's very possible he could have a hot week. Anytime you have Josh Donaldson playing, you know, it's going to be, you know, a good matchup. He's done very good in the last 2 weeks, Tad. You know, Chris Davis, Josh Donaldson. He added Jay Bruce a while ago. He's added a few other good players that are going to help him finish the year strong. Like, he made a few trades recent, like a month ago, that kind of zapped his pitching depth. I think he had, like, Hendricks and Odorizzi, who would have been really good on his team right now if he had them, right?
Right.
At that point, he was looking to sell, and now is more looking to compete this year. I think beating me would help him a lot because he's currently 6-8. One loss, and you know, lost to me, it kind of puts him out of the playoffs, in my opinion. And you know, yeah. Win would look obviously really good on him because he'd be ever so close to 500. You know, a couple more wins, and I think his team is going to be hot to finish the year because he's made so many good moves in the last couple weeks. He'll be the team to beat, and that's why I want to beat him this week. I don't want to play him in the playoffs. I don't want to worry about Cam. You know, I feel like he has something up his sleeve every time he talks to me. So I feel like I'd rather get him out of the playoffs now and not worry about him.
That's fair. I mean, Cam's a very active, very smart GM, and I mean, he makes more trades to make up for the fact that content isn't always posted on time or edited properly or anything like that. Which, like, that's fine. Cam, I'm totally okay with it. Honestly, you can post my grammatically awful articles, and you don't have to make trades. Okay, like, you don't have to acquire talent to offset my grammatical errors. I mean, I used to send him to Flex, and he would edit them, but he would also put in editor's comments that I found distasteful and false. So frankly, we could just post them as is. And if people can't read them, well, I mean, that's okay. They're not that insightful. They're just an opinion. But moving on, because, I mean, the only thing I'll say about this is that if Cam upsets you,
yeah,
and I mean it is potentially possible, although very much unlikely.
It would be huge for him, obviously. My team, I will say, to start off the year, my team was very hot and cold. Like, last time I played Cam, he literally almost beat me with, like, 200 points. It was not pretty. Over the last six matchups, actually, you know, my team's come back with a vengeance ever since I lost to Nick. I've been pretty consistently getting close to 300 points or more. I think that makes me much tougher to beat than the last time I played him. So, obviously, I think I'm a good test for him. I think he had a tough match. I'm not sure what his schedule is after that, but I think I'm a pretty important matchup for him. So,
next week, Cam plays Jeffrey Chow.
Oh, wow. That's even, you know what? Like, it would be tough for him to come out 2-0 versus us two, but we'll see.
The week after that, he plays Ash.
Ash is a good team, too. So
Week 19, he plays, just having a look here, Richard. And
okay.
Finish it off in week 20, he plays Aiden. So he's got, I would say, a tough go with Chow. I don't think he beats you. Richard he should beat, and Aiden he could beat. So let's say he goes 2-2, he's still looking at a...
I guess good bats.
8-11 at best, right? So
yeah, we'll see. I think Ash could beat him too. Ash has to manage his pitchers better. I've tried talking to him many times about this. He has a sick team, and if he just had a bit better, I guess, management, he could be much more competitive than he is. And I'm really pushing for Ash to make the playoffs. He's a good friend of mine. So it'd be cool, you know, hopefully we don't play each other. But I'd like for him to make the playoffs at least, you know. It'd be cool to see.
Well, speaking of Ash, he's in a matchup this week, actually, in which I have no confidence in. He is facing, who is it here? It's Jamil. Actually, Jamil, I hate you more than Ash. So, you know what? I talk about Jamil in my article, actually, this week. But I think Ash has had bad luck. And I do think that if he just managed his team better, like you were saying, he would have...
You know, it's funny you mentioned this, because right now, looking at this matchup, and Ash is doing okay. I thought Ash was, you know, beating him pretty badly, but he's already used 6 out of 7 starts.
Like, I don't
know. That's kind of the problem Ash has, is that he's maxing his starts early, and he's not getting the full benefit of, you know, taking advantage of the, you know, the, I think it's almost unfair that you can go over 7 starts if you're, you know, managed properly. But that's the whole thing. You got to take advantage when you can, right? And it seems like Ash doesn't even care that much about it. So,
Ash, I'm going to say 2 things to you. And I'm not a winning franchise, so don't feel free to just brush me off here. But we've talked about you now for 3 weeks doing this, so clearly you don't listen to the show. maybe if you did, then you would be in the playoffs. But your team is good enough to make the playoffs, and frankly, you're just fucking yourself by using 6 starts 2 days in. And you got to roll the matchups. Like, you have starts on the weekend, because if you're rolling this many starts out, you're getting 2 start weeks from your pitchers.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, Drew Pomerantz, for example, on Saturday plays in L.A. against an offense that's awful. And you're not going to get that start. And Sunday, you have Tyler Skaggs, Aaron Sanchez, and Carlos Martinez, which would be a perfect way to get over your 7 starts if you rolled 2 or 3 guys this week instead of rolling 6 at once. I mean, your starts were lined up perfectly, and you still fucked it up. And this is why you struggled to win. And it sucks, because this team, I think, should be in the playoffs comfortably. It shouldn't even be a debate, right? I think Ash in my opinion, is a 6 or 7 seed in the league.
Like, to start the year, I thought Ash would be competitive with me, to be honest. He's a good team, and, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, he's not doing too well. He's still 7-7, which is pretty good, but I would imagine, you know, like, to be fair, he got unlucky with his team. Like, you know, when Danny Salazar, Stroman, and Martinez put up less than 20 points combined, like, you know, that's pretty deadly, but... I think he had, you know, all those starts lined up on the weekend. If he looked into it, he could have, you know, played his matches a bit better. But, you know, what can you do?
Well, we're going to quick fire you here, Ryan. We're going to put you on the spot here. We have 3 matchups left.
Okay.
So the first matchup, we're just going to get your predictions on it in one sentence or less. Max Brand, 8-6. Garth MacInnis, 5-9. Garth MacInnis is leading right now, 75-53. Who do you think wins this matchup, and does this make or break Max's season?
I think it's about time Garth gets some wins. Like, he almost beat me. I had a really good Sunday when I played him, and I just squeaked by. His team, like, I think he is number 1 in points against in matchups. So he honestly is probably the most unlucky manager there is this year. His team is solid. He doesn't have a star in every position, but his team is solid, and I think he could pull out the victory here, right? Obviously, Max has a good team, but he's slowing down recently, so I'm not sure, I'm not sure how far he can go, but we'll see. I think Garth can take this one.
Okay, that's a fair assessment. I think Max needs to win this week, so if
it's
he does,
very important he wins. Yeah,
difficult. In a matchup that frankly doesn't matter to anyone, probably. Wesley Peter, 88 points, is beating Aiden, 46.5 points. Is there any way that either of these teams has any shot at the playoffs if they win this week? Or, frankly, at all?
I always thought Wes had a really, really, really good team. Like, I remember at the beginning of the year, or beginning of the season, sorry, I always thought that, like, my division was stacked with Ash, Wes, Cam, and I. I thought it'd be like a 4-foot, like a, you know, 4-person race to first place. His team is still solid. You know, I've messaged him a few times, doesn't respond to me, but His, you know, like, Justin Upton should be doing a lot better. Stanton should be doing a lot better. Mookie Betts is doing really well, obviously. His team is, like, I'd say much better than Aiden's. Like, far better. It's unfortunate he's gotten so unlucky because, you know, I would have said, like, his offense is comparable to mine at the start of the year. Like, that's how good it was.
I agree, but he didn't have Betts and a couple other players at the beginning of the year. Like, those are just...
For Betts, how do you get him? I forget now.
He got him for Adrian Gonzalez and Carlos Gomez.
Yeah, he still had hit... Oh, well, since he gave up Evan Longoria, like, he had a good team, you know? His pitching, I thought, was pretty good, too. He got Felix Hernandez. I think he got hurt. He's back now. Pineda, Chris Sale. Yeah, his team is solid. Honestly, like, I don't know if he has much of a chance to get to the playoffs right now with a 5-9 record. But honestly, if things went differently at the start of the year, I'm not sure why things. I haven't followed him too much, but I think if you know minor things changed, he really could have been. He could have gone to the playoffs, and I would have been scared to play him because you know his team is solid. I think even next year he'll have a good team if he you know works hard, maybe makes a few more trades, and you know builds off the team he has now.
I think he's definitely a playoff team next year. I think he just had some bad luck.
I'm shocked because I honestly thought like I had a really good division, like I thought like a strong division, and it seems like no one's above 500 besides me. I think maybe Ashes, but yeah, it's surprising. His team is probably the biggest surprise to me this year because I would have said remember even in the early power rankings he was like top five. Just I think he's just behind me.
I agree. Yeah, he was my dark horse pick actually to win the whole thing.
I was scared to play. I beat him twice now, a pretty large amount of points, but I'm not sure. Like, you know, if Stanton was Stanton of, you know, a year or two ago, you know, he'd be a top five fantasy player instead of putting up, like, 2 points per game, which is not, it is good, obviously, but it's not, you know, good for Stanton.
Well, I mean, Wes is out of it. Aiden is potentially out of it, but one guy who's not out of it in our last matchup of the week, Jeffrey Lim, 7-7, is beating Richard 60-34. Is there a chance? And I mean, obviously Ash is your friend, but would you say Jeffrey and Ash are going to go right to the last week of the season for the last playoff spot, or do you think Ash shouldn't have a problem? His team is better than Richard's. He just has to manage, or Jeffrey's. He just got to manage better. Because I talked to Jeffrey, he said he's not making any deals at the deadline here. He wants to roll with the team he has. And I assume Ash will do likewise. So what's your stance?
Honestly, like, well, obviously, I want Ash to make it because he's, you know, been a good friend of mine for the last 5 years or 6 years. I'm just looking at both their rosters. Like, I would say Ash has a better, like, his batting lineup is a lot better than Jeffrey's. Like, pitching-wise, I would still say, looking at both teams right now, I would say Ash has far better depth for pitching and for batting. One thing Ash didn't take advantage of for the longest time was replacement pitching. I told him, like, many times, I'm like, you have to have a full deck of replacement pitching. And a lot of times he'd have Sanchez and Pomeranz, who are great starting pitchers, but they're wasted opportunities in his replacement pitching spots, and he had like three other replacement pitchers and two spots empty. So while I had seven replacement pitchers, you know, doing really well, he would have three. I recently traded him Ryan Madsen, who I think would be a good. I think it's a good addition to him. I think he's finally realizing that, you know, that's a pretty important thing to worry about. You know, like. You'd hope he learned about the pitching thing, but it seems like he still, you know, just started everyone and not really cared, you know, when he maxes the starts. But I think his team is better. I think, you know, I'd be surprised if Jeffrey made it over Ash, but, you know, strange things have happened. You know, I think Jeffrey's a good guy. I've talked to him a couple of times. Seems like a nice guy. But, yeah, like looking at their teams, like Ash has worked hard. Like, his team has been crafted over many years. You know, he's sucked for a long time to get the team he has now. And I want to see Ash do well. I remember, like, 3 years ago, he talked about this pool and how, like, he was adding every top prospect to his team, and he was waiting for them to become good. This is, like, 2 or 3 years ago he talked about this league and telling me how he, like, added, like, everyone that was a good prospect. And then, you know, like, this is kind of what's happened to his team, is that, like, he's finally just reaping the rewards of it. Like, he has Corey Seager, Arenado, you know, he had Matt Harvey since the beginning, I think. You know, so in my opinion, I think Ash is a better team. If Ash smartens up and, you know, learns how to manage his starts, I think he can make a push. Because obviously, you know, he started 0-5, and now he's 7-7, which is a testament to how, you know,
good
much
his team is. Yeah,
yeah, so, exactly. His team is unreal. So
we'll finish this off with Ash. Please call Ryan for management tips.
Yeah, I honestly, I try to help him a lot, and he, you know, he listens sometimes. He's he flip flops a lot. He's a good guy, honestly. I think he has a chance of, you know, making the playoffs and making some noise. You know, I want to see him make it, so I'm gonna do my best to help him out.
Well, Ryan, we thank you for joining the show this week and taking your time to do this. It's been awesome having you on. It's very nice to have an enthusiastic guest. And Nick, next week we might have to go solo if I can't get a hold of anybody. Kaminsky probably won't join us, let's be real. Maybe we can get a hold of Ash if he has spare time, but again, not a ton of people to choose from here. For anyone listening, one option next week might be my brother, who will come on and do a guest segment about the Blue Jays, because he's really amped for that. So stay tuned for that. That should be exciting. And till next week, guys.
Yeah.
Ryan,
best wishes.
Ryan, good luck in your matchup, and here's hoping that you two gentlemen meet in the final and everyone in the league is happy.
That sounds good. Sounds fantastic. I'm down to come back on if you ever need me again. So.
Oh, we'll definitely have you back on before the end of the year. And we should definitely have a playoff edition where we recap we have finals edition where we recap the playoffs. We could see if that picture.
Except if I lose, then I'm not down for that.
Well, come on. We want to have. You gotta be full disclosure. You gotta be impartial.
Either way, yeah. If I lose in the first round, that, you know, what happens. I'm hoping to make it far, but honestly, my team's done so good so far, it would be a disappointment, but it's not, like, you know, unexpected, so we'll see what happens.
I'm hoping we can reanalyze that flex picture with the gentleman in the background, or confirm it with a third.
We'll see what happens. Yeah.
We'll
see. Like, I'm gonna listen to that segment and be like, what the hell is this? But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Till next week, guys. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and enjoy. Good luck in your matchups this week. I definitely won't win mine, so. Phillip, your team is still awful. Till next week, guys.
Okay.
Good luck and good baseball.